Hello everyone, welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to TV shows to books, musicals, and everything in between. Today is the start of a new day, a wonderful day, because it is the start of our new series on Rocky. I know it's Thanksgiving week and we wanted to give something back to you guys, not a Christmas present because that's going to come later, but we just feel so thankful for all our fans. We've been getting a lot of listens lately. We're thankful for you guys, our audience.
Where are all of you coming from?
I know, this has been amazing. You guys have been doing great, except maybe leave a couple of five-star reviews, if you wouldn't mind, you know, whenever you're ready. And so we just felt so thankful for you guys, we wanted to give something back. So this series is going to be coming out the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. We're going to release consecutive episodes every day, and we're going to be reviewing the whole Rocky series, Rocky 1 through 5, documenting his entire journey, his rise to fame as one of the greatest boxers to ever live. Isn't that right, Ty?
Yes?
Yes. There we go. So, be sure to tune in over the next couple of days. This is going to be a really fun series. I'm really excited about it. I'm a really big fan of Rocky, and Ty's never seen it before, so it's going to be great. The first one we're reviewing today is Rocky, simply titled, you know, Rocky. Okay, my thoughts on this movie is it's a little simplistic, it's a little basic. I know it's kind of a run-of-the-mill underdog story, if you will, but I think it really has heart, you know? It has some great characters in it. The acting's really good. The writing isn't quite all there. There's quite a few scenes where it relies heavily on Sylvester Stallone to carry some scenes that are just, eh. So, I mean, overall, very positive for me, but what about you, Ty?
I would say positive, but less positive. There's a lot of... The writing flaws stick out to me a lot more, personally. And the entire first act is basically just a hot mess. The final fight, though, really makes up for it. So, we'll get into that later.
It came out in 1976. It stars Sylvester Stallone as Rocky, Talia Shire as Adrian, Burt Young as Polly, and Carl Weathers, who's now actually in The Mandalorian, as Apollo. It was written by Sylvester Stallone, directed by John G. Avildsen. There's a lot of really interesting history behind this movie that I can get into later, but for anyone who hasn't seen the movie before, it starts off with, obviously, Rocky, this down-on-his-luck boxer who never quite made it there, and he's just kind of struggling to get through life, you know, just scrapping his way through, when he, out of the blue, gets a one-in-a-million opportunity to fight the heavyweight champion of the world, Apollo Creed, in an extremely patriotic fight to celebrate the bicentennial of the country. He trains with his manager, Mickey, and he finds a love interest in Adrian, and it ends with him fighting Apollo Creed. Apollo eventually wins, so it's not a complete underdog winning everything story, but we'll get into that in later episodes. So why don't we start off with the characters? Ty, I would really like to know, yeah? Oh, Ty, do you want to tell me what you thought of Rocky as a first character? Wow, that bad, huh?
Well, not necessarily that it's bad, just that it's hard to give a... Why am I speaking so weird? What I'm trying to get at is that Rocky is okay. I mean, I'm trying to hit my groove, but I can't.
What is it? Did you see like a lack of a character arc or motivation, or what was it for you, do you think?
Part of it has to do with structural reasons that I'll get into, but to sum it up very quickly, the first act, as I said before, was just a hot mess. And the whole purpose of a first act is to give setup, introduction, right? Tell the audience what the characters want, what they do, the defining flaw slash lie slash whatever you want to call it, that holds them back from achieving their dreams or puts their focus on the wrong dream. That sometimes that's an arc in and of itself. And I feel like in this, Rocky was... He basically kind of floats about during the first act. And we get some... It's told to us. It's told to us that he, quote-unquote, wasted his life not, you know, pursuing his fighting. Instead, he was, you know, being a mafia debt collector, right? But rather than there being some epic scene where he's like... In the beginning, right? In the first act, he's like... He has this option between, let's say, doing boxing or... you know, finding some dude and getting money from him, and he chooses to go after the money. And then there could have been this epic scene near the end where the mafioso is like, you know, where's my money or whatever, or I want you to do XYZ, you owe me. And Sylvester's like, no, that was wrong. I shouldn't, you know, something like that. No, there's nothing really there.
Yeah, so I see what you mean.
There's no payoff even for just the telling part where they tell us, you were some dumb leg breaker who blah, blah, blah. There's no payoff, no climax. He just hops into the ring after finding a girlfriend and regaining his mojo, and then it's just not much there. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see what you mean. I think his whole character kind of... I think what really made Rocky, because it obviously wasn't his arc or anything about him, I think what really carried him and why what makes it so memorable was honestly mostly Sylvester Stallone's performance.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think his, like, you know, his kind of like gentle giant vibes and his voice, obviously, and the way he talks and the "Yo, Adrian," it's kind of that kind of they kind of relied on that basically during the whole first act. But
there was a lot of style to him, and I think that's mostly what carried it. You know, Adrian is really a personality. Adrian, what? I mean, how did I get those two mixed up? Why does she have such a dumb name, man? Anyway, side note. Okay, yeah, Rocky. His personality is... I can see why others could... Honestly, I personally wasn't too much a fan of the, you know, Italian mafioso personality, all that stuff, but I can easily see how that how others can appreciate that. It's just personally didn't suit my taste very well. That's all I'm gonna say on that bit.
So let's talk about Adrian. There wasn't a whole lot to her character, I'd say. She's basically just a love interest. I mean, you'd agree, right?
And yeah, and the entire arc was just really, really dumb. I mean, like, I was really shocked when they immediately started kissing in the apartment, because I was like, no, it's way too early for that. They're supposed to be like a falling out where they're like, she's like, blah, and then he's like, what? I'm not so bad. And then she points out all his major character flaws, and he's like, oh, I really am that bad.
Yeah, that brings me on to just one thing that I wrote down here in my notes that I wanted to ask you about, because I figured you could give us, I don't know, some sort of psychology lesson like you usually do. but so if you remember, at one point, there's little Marie over there, like, hanging out with the coconuts or the yo-yos or whatever you wanted to call them. and he kind of like chastises her a little bit, says, you know, you just shouldn't be smoking, as he smokes, and he says, like, shouldn't be hanging out with these coconuts, while he hangs out with coconuts, and he says, you know, if you're gonna, you can't, like, talk dirty, and he talks dirty. So why do you think that is? Why do you think that he, I know he kind of self-addresses it as, like, who are you, creepo, to be giving advice? I know he kind of, like, he kind of, like, sees that in himself, but why do you think he's like that?
Why do you think he hangs out with coconuts and he smokes and...
No, I mean, why does he do it, but then advise someone else not to?
Well, I mean, I wish you hadn't primed me up with the psychology professor thing, because now I feel like I need to give a comprehensive answer when, you know. I mean, realistically, he made the same mistakes as her, and he doesn't want to see her go down the same path that he did. He's at the point he's at the point where he feels like, you know, he doesn't have any other option. He's in a slump. There's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. He's out of his prime. He's in his 30s. He's stuck in dead-end jobs, you know. He doesn't want to see the girl go down that way. I don't think there's much else to it, you know?
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't give any.
I know, it's okay. It's just, usually you have something, like, really insightful. I'm sorry if I hyped you up too much for that one, but... And so, what other characters? Okay, so there's Polly, I guess, who basically the whole movie's trying to get a job from Rocky, and he kind of seems to have, like, a sort of abusive relationship with everyone, but...
I don't understand what happened at the end. I honestly don't get why all of a sudden Rocky... Well, I mean, like, he screams at them, he kicks the... No, well, I guess he doesn't get... The sister leaves him, and then Rocky's like, "Hey, what's up?" And then he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna use your name to make money." And then he's like, "Sure, do whatever you want." It's like, what? Well, I don't get it.
Well, I think they were just like friends. They were like friends before that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed a little bit.
Yeah. I think that may like kind of result in that's just kind of like the culture that they're living in. I don't know. I think that. It may just, like, be a thing in kind of, like, Philadelphia, Italian, that kind of, like, you know, there can be, like, a certain level of, you know, angriness, but there's, like, always an underlying loyalty. I don't know. I really don't know much about that, but that's just kind of what I thought of it. So do you have really anything else you wanted to say on Polly's character?
I mean, I guess one thing that I am disappointed in is the fact that it never really went anywhere. They were building up this subplot where he's like this abusive, you know, totally selfish, totally self-centered. I was expecting there to be some epic moment at the end where he rides out and he's like, you know, he proves his loyalty to his friend and then all is forgiven because he did XYZ during the boxing match, managed to... Maybe like we were talking about the romantic subplot earlier, right? How it was way too rushed. Polly, Adrian and Sylvester Stallone have a fallout, and then Polly rushes back to the girl and he's like, you know, do you love this guy? And she's like, yeah, I do. Well, you need to be there to support him, no matter XYZ. And then the both of them rush over there, driving down. Sylvester's on his last knees. He's about to get knocked out. And then he sees Adrian in the distance with Polly. And it's like, oh my gosh. You know, I was so disappointed. There was no scene like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
As it was, he was really just a whole lot of... He was just the most random bit of fat. He's like fat on meat, you know? He doesn't really serve to do anything. He was just there kind of getting in the way randomly and then never building up anywhere towards any kind of final climax or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's... I mean, so this is the characters of Mickey and Apollo, but I think I'd put them in, like, the same place as to where they were just kind of, like, additions to his boxing career and not much else than that. I mean... Besides their interest in him being a boxer, I don't feel like they really added a whole lot to the story at all.
You know what show managed to nail the boxing? What boxing show is just the absolute best?
What?
Hajime no Ippo.
Is that an anime?
Yes. It is. It is.
Oh, I see.
You know, I actually think you would like it. It's actually one of the... more Western style shows. Anyway,
okay.
I don't know where that tangent came from. Continue.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've covered basically all the characters. Now, Ty, do you want to maybe explain some of the problems you see with the plot? You were talking about that earlier.
Well, we were talking about the first act earlier, right? It It's yep. basically hot garbage. And you could basically cut it out and you wouldn't and replace it with about a minute of dialogue and exposition. And that's uh-huh. about as much as that entire 30 minutes? Hold on, let me think. Yeah, 30. Wait, no? Yes, 30 minutes. Sorry, I can't do math. Yeah, that entire 30-minute first act section really didn't serve to do anything.
I felt it was a really good way to introduce Rocky, like, with that original fight and then see him go through his life. I think maybe, like, a shortening of that might have been good. Maybe, like, just, like, keep it to, like, one day. But then it just, I don't know, it would have felt like the Apollo offering him the fight would have come just kind of, like, I don't know, just, like, super easy. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe we had to, like, see him, like, just go through his normal tough life. And I mean, when you think about what the reason that we're, like, so rooting for Rocky is because we want to see him get out of his life. I mean, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been cut short if you know, it was just away. Yeah. It's like, oh, golden opportunity right here, you know?
Yeah, so the trick to solving that, you know, you don't slice off the entire first act. It's a necessary component. It is... What they really should have done was try to nail the characterization. This is where we really should have gotten a taste of what Rocky... We never really find out what it is that put Rocky in that position. What essential worldview, mindset, whatever. Well, I mean, I guess
we do... Oh, no, they do. Remember? Remember, he does. He can't sing or dance.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I guess they tell it to us. Oh, you were a leg break instead of becoming a great fighter. You were a leg breaker, right? But it's never really shown to us explicitly. Mm-hmm. Shown, not told. Shown. Why exactly he's got himself in this slump, and why he continues to. Well, I guess they do tell us, but again, there's a lot of telling, actually. There's a lot of, oh, you were a leg breaker. Oh, well, the reason why I fight is because I can't sing or dance, right? I mean, it's cute dialogue, but it's really poor storytelling.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that the reason for that at all could have come from monetary constraints? Or do you think the money doesn't matter for... wouldn't... matter for establishing his character better in the first act?
I mean, I can't imagine any reason they couldn't have added in more replace those useless scenes where he wanders around and does, you know, shows off virtually none of his essential flaws, etc. Why they couldn't have replaced that with all they would have had to do was just edit some lines, really. Or have him take slightly different actions if they wanted to convey whatever flaw he has. I mean, I can't see monetary concern. I don't know. Would that be? I'm not a filmmaker. Maybe there's something here I'm missing.
Yeah. So So for anyone who doesn't know, the original Rocky movie was made for just about $1 million. Yeah. So if you don't know. That's extremely tight. They had to go. So they had like one trailer that functioned as like Sylvester Stallone's like, you know, dressing place, the makeup place, the manager. They had to like cut everything. This movie was made for practically pennies. They didn't have barely anything to keep themselves going.
Well,
it was a miracle. It was made in the first place, actually. So I was just wondering how much do you think that would affect the performance of the story?
I guess when you say it like that, maybe Sylvester Stallone actually had a much longer script, but because of budget constraints, they didn't have the time to properly flesh it. Like, rather than cutting down what would have been like a 6-hour script and, you know, carefully deciding which one should be kept, which one should be expanded on. They just sliced away and just, you know, just cut that baby into tomato slices quick as possible, because we don't have the time to support any more mouths to feed. So, I mean, I guess when you put it like that, it is possible budget constraints could have been a problem. Besides that, this was Sylvester Stallone's first, you know, written thing, wasn't
it? Yeah, first movie. I think so, yeah. Yeah. I just know that stuff because the producer of this movie released a book, and one of the chapters is on how he made Rocky, so.
You know, it's funny.
It's actually pretty interesting.
Just the other day I was reading about the number one mistake amateur writers make, the one thing that all amateur writers always, this editor, he was on Reddit, he was talking about how all the books that comes across his, you know, pile, right, all the things he reads,
and
the number one thing that none of the amateur writers ever seem to get is structure. Rather, it's always point A to point B, you know. The protagonist finds a problem, he solves it, a new problem pops up, he solves it, an internal problem pops up, he solves it, and it's this strict 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, rather than leaving several problems unresolved and, you know, having them build up. You know, the hero goes off to fight a dragon, he kills the dragon, the hero goes saves the princess. Instead, what he says, what experienced writers learn to do is the hero kill the dragon, they have the dragon beat the hero, they have the hero's friends abandon him, the dragon is still wreaking havoc in the town in the background, the hero's wife just left.
Lowest points.
Yes, it's defeat at every turn, internal and external, building up the tension, building up the conflict, right? And I think I get that same sense here. Like, you know, he goes off, he has a romantic problem, boom, fixed, first act, done. He has a training problem, boom, fixed, done. He has a fighting problem, here we go, the problem number three, boom, fixed, done. So, that definitely affected the tension.
I mean, I feel like the one way it does break convention like that, though, is having, him lose the fight, which I think was actually, I think that was a really good idea, even if just to be able to make a rematch sequel, which I think it may have been there for. I think that may have been its entire purpose. But I did like the fact that he does lose. I think that, I don't know, like he had his opportunity. He didn't blow it, but he just didn't make it all the way. Which,
well, sequel, he did also, make I it guess, all the way.
Watch tomorrow, everybody.
He did kind of make it.
No, I mean, I'm saying he didn't. Yeah, he just didn't win. But I mean,
for him personally, that was his victory.
It makes it look like he won. Yeah, yeah. I just meant he didn't win. So,
right. Yeah.
it definitely is a sense of victory there for him, obviously. But yeah. So did you pick up on any themes while going across this? I don't know. It kind of The theme reminded me a little bit of the theme from Up, like, I don't know, it's just a tinge of sadness to it, while, like something hidden under it, which I think kind of, like, is a good way to express this movie, you know what I mean? I think they really did a good job with the theme. With the theme song, anyway.
that's actually pretty good. But, for me, I personally didn't pick up on very much of a unifying theme. There was the obvious, you know, overcome your problems through adversity. But, I mean, even that felt like it was pretty much in the background. It was never really kind of at the forefront. There's just one scene where he's out of breath, and then the next, oh, wow, he can run up the stairs really quickly. Oh, yeah. I mean... I don't know. Did you pick up on anything other than that? You were talking about tinge of sadness. Could you elaborate on that?
What I was saying about that, I was just like, that was just talking about the little theme that they have for him, like, da-na-na. This is like kind of like the theme when he's like just kind of wandering around. But I think they did a really good job with the themes, like the theme song. I'm sorry, I'm not explaining. It's the theme song, and I think that really encapsulates kind of like what this movie like stands for, you know, like something hidden inside of him, which is just I don't know, a little bit of regret. That I guess that would be his character, but I mean, actual themes. Let's obviously not give up, but
I mean, I could at
I don't know,
least.
I
I think it would have been more clear if they had made it like, you know, his entire life, for whatever reason, he always gave up. He took the easy route. And we see that
yeah.
in like his interpersonal relationships or whatever. We see that in his fighting styles, where like maybe like in the beginning, throughout the entire fight, he takes cheap shots. He fights against people using cheap shots. He takes the easy way out. And I feel like that would have been a very unifying theme, where he learn has to realize that he can't always take the easy way out. He has to be willing to stand up and fight and sometimes do hard things, right?
Yeah. You know, actually, when I'm thinking about it, I think that like his whole character kind of like is not really a theme, but I don't know, like in some weird way, it like his whole personality with, I don't know, his like determined drive and like his past history and him trying to push ahead to something and him just scraping by. I don't know, it's not a theme, but it feels unifying like a theme would be. I don't know. You pick up what I'm saying?
Kind of remind I feel like
Not really.
I'm having flashbacks to the old man in the sea, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't see very much in terms of theme, but in something to like unify the movie like a theme does, I just feel like he himself kind of does that, and I think Sylvester Stallone may have done that on purpose.
I think I kind of get where you're coming from. I guess that's something we'll have to
Yeah,
analyze
I
at
know
a.
it's not a super strong point, but I'm just saying like, you know, there's not a whole lot there, but that's just one of the little things I picked up on. So, I talked a little bit about the music. What did you think of the music? I thought the main themes were really good. Do you wanna give
Oh
us a
yeah,
couple thoughts?
those that was easily just that was really great. I'm terrible at music theory. I'd like to think I'm okay. But one thing that stood out to me was the strong focus on melody. And I mean, that's pretty much it. If you sat me down for like 3 hours and had me look at the sheet music for 3 hours, I'm sure I could come up with something else. But on the spot, the best I could come up with is, I mean, like, they had a pretty strong melody, guys. You know, it was a pretty, and that's basically no better than saying, "Oh, that song sure is catchy." I mean, I really wish I had something other to say than, you know, it's just it's really good. It's good. It's very solid. Oh, I guess there is one thing that's interesting. Something that is pretty cool is the they use this rhythmic bass line, this kind of 80s style bass line, but for the melody, they don't use what would be conventionally associated with that kind of bass line. Rather, they're using a funk bass line, but they're using this trumpets and, you know, horns that would be better suited to something from like the 1800s, like Tchaikovsky or whatever. So that is interesting. I think that's pretty cool, and it has a strong contrast. You know, you're kind of blending together this the kind of nobility, high class horns, and then you're mixing together the
Yeah, I see what
funk,
you
you
mean.
know, kind of groovy style of the bass line. And
Yeah, I definitely
that's
see that.
Visuals.
So, yeah,
You said
visuals.
this was made
Okay.
on a shoestring budget, right? So were there any things
Yes.
you picked up on as a result of that, like any visual
Well,
stuff?
I think they did, for what they had, an incredible job with the visuals. I think they had a really good cinematographer, But I have something very interesting to tell you on this. So, this movie is very historical. And one thing that makes it very historical is it is the first movie to have the Steadicam. Ty, do you know what a Steadicam is?
No. Can you explain it for the sake of the audience, please?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So it's basically a rig. It's kind of like a vest that's attached to the cameraman's body. And there's like a pole that he's hanging onto, and it's connected to the rig, and it's stabilized by the rig and himself. And he can carry it and move around, and it won't shake on him, you know what I mean?
Oh, so like, that's like what they would. That's what they would have done for the running scenes and stuff, right?
Yes, but this is actually the first movie to ever use that, because the inventor of the Steadicam was a local to Philadelphia, and when he saw they were making a movie there, he said, "Hey guys, so I've made this I have this invention I made. It's called the Steadicam. Maybe you guys could use it." And it ended up being used, and now it's used in pretty much every major blockbuster today. And that's how they got some of the scenes, like the running shots, him going up the stairs. Those in previous films, shots like that have been impossible or impossibly hard. I don't know what other means they had before then, but this is the first movie to incorporate that, which is just something pretty cool to note. I really like the compared to the cinematography and the fights over the next movies, the fight cinematography is a little lacking in this one. Again, I'd say for the budget they had, they did a really good job. Not much else than that, though. How about you?
Visual-wise, there were some funky-looking shots that did seem a little bit odd, but other than that, there wasn't...
Could you just give me an example?
It's hard to put into words. There are just some scenes where the camera feels like it's zoomed in too close or zoomed in too far, but maybe that could have just been my copy for all I know. Like, I just had a terrible... One thing we should talk about, though, is the centerpiece of this entire film, which is the fight scene. I mean, that is the climax of the entire movie, so maybe we should pick it alart.
It's a good idea. So, should I just break it down really quick? Just kind of like what happens? How it starts?
Yeah, and you'll have to do most of the analysis, because, you know, I'm not a boxing man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, it basically starts out, I'm just going to start with the entrances. Rocky, he's going in, he has his robe on that was paid for by Polly's meat company that he goes to, and that's how he got it. It's a little too baggy, and he notices. You know, it's just stuff like that, I think, that really makes this movie so charming and why it's impacted so many people.
It's that little attention to detail.
Yeah, those things that could just kind of stick with you. But he goes in, and he's obviously the underdog. People are cheering for him, but then Apollo comes in with a float and some women dressed up like the Statue of Liberty, and the whole float looks like the boat from the, what's it called? From the painting with George Washington when he's going over the Hudson River, I think, or the Mohawk?
I'm not sure about the... You mean crossing the Delaware River, but...
Delaware River.
Side note here. I think this is one of the clever examples of characterization that I've actually seen in a while. Like, throughout the movie, Apollo is pretty stale. I mean, he seems like a semi-cool guy, but as soon as he comes on there, just the over-the-topness, the stylization, instantly tell you what kind of guy he's going to be acting like throughout the rest of the fight. It immediately sets the tone. And I do have to give them serious props for that, because it was a really clever scene. Just everything about it was really clever.
I'm just saying, if you like that, they continue that throughout some of the other movies, so you'll see more of that. But anyway, going on, so there's him dressed up. He's dressed up like George Washington in the float that looks like he's going over the Delaware River. He's tossing money at people, and he gets in the ring, and then he puts a top hat on like Uncle Sam, and he's screaming, "I want you! I want you!" And he's like pointing at Rocky. And so obviously they have them go into the middle, kind of tell him the rules, and immediately, when the fight starts, it looks as if Apollo is going to be here, actually. Hey Ty, could you edit this part out in a second? But I thought it'd be kind of cool if we kind of like watch the fight a little bit and just kind of go through it and like kind of be like commentators on it. Could you just like pull it up real quick and then just like I'll go through a couple scenes and then I'll just
Hold
I
on.
don't know, you know what I mean? Just like yeah. I don't
Let
know,
me
it just seemed like a cool idea to me.
just pull it up. What's the name of it I should use?
Just Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed. It should be 9 minutes, 47 seconds.
One of, by the way, side note, one of the little bits of foreshadowing that I really liked was from right from the start, that guy's like they were in the bar and that dude's like that guy's a clown. I really wish somebody would come up there and, some real pro
Yeah,
would
yeah,
come in.
yeah.
And then it's revealed, oh yeah, he is a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up
Yeah,
now.
that was really good. Yeah, that was really good. So why not start at like 13 seconds in?
13 seconds in.
Okay. Let's see. So, basically what happens at first, Apollo swings, he's landing a couple he
Wait, should
lands a
I have
couple
started?
jab. Yeah.
You didn't
I'm
tell me to
at
start.
20 25 seconds, 25, 26, 27, 28. You on? 29. 30
Got
seconds.
it.
There we go. Okay, there, cool. And then there's some nice cinematography there. I like a couple of these shots. Apollo's jabbing, basically, and that's how the first part of this little spat goes of the first round. And Rocky, pretty soon here, he's getting beat up. That's kind of one of the things he's known for throughout the series, is being able to take quite a few hits.
I was
And he
cringing
lands an
so hard.
uppercut, and he lays Apollo out. Apollo's just like on the ground, and the bar goes crazy. They're seeing it on the TV. Okay, Ty, why don't you skip to 152,
All right.
153, 154, and then basically, oh, now Rocky's going at him again. He took a couple hits, but now he's getting him in the corner, and he's basically just like he's like pounding on his ribs right now. The ref tries to break it up. He does, and why don't we go to 2:06 through 37, 2:38, 2:39. Both of them are basically in their corners now, being prepped by their coaches, and that happens a couple times. Oh wait, let's pause here for a second. 2:40 at 2:46. Rocky previously he states that he tells Adrian he's very proud of his nose, which was never broken, and that he went to 63 or 64 fights, I'm pretty sure, and he's never broken. He's very proud of it, and only fitting that his shot with the heavyweight champ is the one that broke his nose. Just something cool to notice. Those little things again. Just Sony. Okay, you can unpause it. There, they enter the ring again. Apollo's just he's landing hits, and pretty soon, go to let's say. Three, about 4 minutes, four in. The ref breaks it up between them. So basically, what's going on is Rocky's taking hits, Apollo's taking hits, but Apollo, okay, you want to go to 4:47? Apollo's get hitting him pretty hard now. But I think so. What he was expecting is this to be an easy round. He said, you can pause at 4:53. He says he'll drop him in 3 rounds. Complete confidence. And as soon as this starts, like his coach says, he thinks he doesn't know this is a show. He thinks this is a fight. And so, and that's basically what happens. You know, he's expecting to be kind of like, you know, just lay him out quickly, but he gets pretty hurt. Later we see that he like breaks his ribs, and it's pretty serious. And then, so, okay, you can keep going. How about 5:43? Rocky is on the ground now. He got pretty bad by Apollo early. Okay, 5:50. Want to pause there? He's like claiming victory. He's like holding his hands up in the air, and Rocky gets back up. That's one of the things. Another thing, actually, about his character, I think that people love so much that they see also in the later movies, is he always gets back up. Well, nearly always, but it's always his drive to get back up that I don't know. That's like one of his character
What
traits
is
that
it with
people.
boxing movies and like the main character being terrible at everything, but really great at getting back up? Like in all the boxing shows, martial arts, whatever, they get knocked out like 500 times and they get back up and you're like, wow,
Like
he's got
Karate Kid.
serious brain damage now.
Yeah,
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Okay, you want to go to 612?
Yep.
Yep, and he's landing. Rocky's able to land quite a number of hits to his rib again as Apollo's trying to defend it, but it's broken up by the ref. 645. Rocky's eye is basically like... Ty, you want to tell us what you said about Rocky's eye earlier?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, they're... What they do is just... It's so great. He can't see, so they do the logical thing. They cut out his eyelid. It makes perfect sense. I mean, if you were in his situation, that is the obvious answer to every solution. You know, next time I can't see, I'll just cut off my eyelid. If there's a pillow in my way, if there's a blindfold on, no problem. Just slice off my eyelid. That'll fix every problem in a heartbeat.
So you want to go to 652? So Apollo's manager, or coach, or whatever, is basically threatening to end the fight. Mickey, Rocky's manager, threatens to do the same. So unpause from 652, and now go to 718. They're back at it again. Both of them are beat up pretty badly. They're not doing a whole lot right now because both of them are really tired. You want to go to 651? Rocky's just landing hit after hit on Apollo's ribs. It's pretty brutal. Apollo's looking pretty bad. But then the bell ends and the bell rings and the fight's over and it's called for Apollo because apparently he gets more hits, and it ends with Adrian running onto the stage and yelling, "I love you," and yeah. So that's basically our little commentary of the fight. Hope you all found it entertaining, something we usually don't do, but again, this is a special situation.
Wait, let's do the post-fight analysis. So, you're a boxer, man. I only do taekwondo. Sort of. Well, in terms of accuracy, how much of this do you think they nailed based off of your personal experience / analysis?
Well, whatever. my personal experience is about 5 days, but all in all, but one thing that they don't get accurate is after a fight like that, both of them should probably be dead. I don't know, or have significant brain damage in the next I don't want to spoil too much, but in the next movie, Mickey says, "Cause that fight, kid, that fight with Apollo, it should have killed you." And yeah, it should have. I wasn't really analyzing it a whole lot in terms of what sort of punches they were using, but Rocky's obviously a southpaw, which means we didn't specify that before. He's left-handed, and that may have messed up Apollo a little bit. Again, I wasn't looking at it like super closely. I was just kind of skimming it right there. That's basically all I have to say on it. Yeah, they should both have significant brain damage or be dead. Those are pretty significant punches. Yeah. If you want a more realistic fight, maybe we should watch a few like Mike Tyson fights or something like that in preparation for our next episode. Mm. And then you can see how little it takes to really lay out a boxer. So.
Yeah,
So,
based off of my superficial knowledge, I knew as soon as that first, forget the second punch to the head, the first punch to the head should have knocked Sylvester out. Should have sent him stumbling. The second hook would have sent him flying to the ground and clutching, and like, basically, that was right to the temple. I felt that, man. I sometimes wonder if I have brain damage from when I got kicked in the head. Okay, I don't know where that came from. Let's continue. Okay,
maybe it was the brain damage. Well, at least you can still analyze movies well.
Yes, my one advantage.
Yeah. So Ty, do you have any quick thoughts on the movie as a whole in general? Give us after talking about it, your new general opinion on how you felt about Rocky as a first time viewer.
um shouldn't we do the quick thoughts first?
This is the quick thoughts.
But quick thoughts is like dialogue.
Okay, okay, fine, funny. whatever. Okay, that, okay.
That's
so,
final opinion, man.
Okay, okay. Yeah, sorry. I was skipping ahead. So, do you have any quick thoughts you'd like to?
Okay, quick thoughts. Let's see here. My favorite characters were the fish and the turtle.
I knew you were gonna say the fish and the turtles. Yeah, Moby Dick. It's like, hey, Moby Dick, you want to see your friends? Hey,
you know, if you two could sing and dance, I wouldn't have to be doing this.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Let's see here. Second quick thought: this film could have been improved by an infinite amount if only they had brought Kirk Cameron on. Let's see.
Kirk Cameron would have solved everything.
Of course. You know, today's a Friday at the time that we're recording this right now. Yeah. Crazy Shirt Friday. It's a sign, man.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You're right. I can't say I'm wearing a crazy shirt. How about you, Ty?
It's kind of sweaty, but I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Other quick thoughts. What about you, Jonathan?
Well, I really like the dialogue he has in the during the ice skating rink. I like his chemistry with Adrian. I think it's really funny. He's like really into her. He's like talking to her. It's like, hey, you want us? Like, it's like, I don't know. He's like kind of like giant but gentle vibes. A little bit of aggressiveness here and there with her, just kind of like super gentleness and not really saying anything. I don't know. It was pretty cute. And his him running around explaining, like, you know, I can't sing or dance, and that's why he fights. And him saying, like, you know, his dad, you know, my old man said, you know, you don't got much of a brain, so you better develop your body, you know. And Adrian's mother basically saying the opposite. And something interesting, actually, about the ice skating scene. See, another thing, they could not afford the extras.
Really?
That's why they're the only ones in there. They just said it was after closing. It works wonderfully. I'm not complaining, but
wait, so hold on a second. So when they were showing that crowd scene in the boxing match, the footage seems so different. Was that just stock footage they grabbed from some random boxing
match? I'll explain that to you. That's real footage. What happened with the ending scene? That they didn't have much money for that either. So one thing they had to do to get more people is they got busloads of people from elderly homes.
What?
To fill in. Yeah, they got busloads of people from nursing homes, and they put them there, and there's actually a couple little scenes that, if you see, the audience should be really excited at some points, but they're not really doing anything, and other points where they're, like, supposed to be, like, you know, booing, but they're, like, cheering or something like that. The producer, he said as much, and they actually, what they had to do to keep their attention during that whole time is they would auction off TVs at the top of every hour to make sure they kept acting the right way, and they'd give them cues on what to do. So just another way, you know, how they're super young, scrappy, and hungry. Shout out to our Hamilton narrative calculus episode. Go watch that one. Ty did a great job. I haven't even actually listened to it, but...
How can you say it was a great job? What was that? It's so bad.
Okay, but, okay, let me just say, any other quick thoughts? Obviously, the training scenes are super inspirational as a boxer myself. And
who's been training for 5 days, apparently.
Yep. And I'd say that's about it. Overall, super charming. I love it. So do you want to give us your final opinion?
Final opinion. Okay. Overall, I'll be honest, I was expecting a lot more. I've watched a lot of sports movies, and I feel like this, it had a lot of heart, but in terms of actual craft, I felt like it fell way short of the many other film, sports movies and all those stuff that I've watched, you know, compared to something like Miracle or the bobsledding one. What was it called? Can't remember.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't
Jamaica
remember.
Jamaica has a bobsled team. That one?
Oh, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings! Yes, that one. That is great. That's a great one.
I've seen that only a while ago. I don't remember it. But I just want to ask you a question about that. What do you think, like, because I know there's, like, movies out there, like, okay, so I'm just gonna bring up something quickly. So, Star Wars, right?
Yes.
The originals, I think we can both agree, have a lot more heart than the sequel movies. Am I right? Same with just about any movie that came out in like earlier decades and they're trying to remake now. Same thing with the Creed movies, right?
I haven't seen the Creed movies, but
No, I'm saying that like most movies that come out today that are like based on old movies that
yeah, they failed to
they
capture the essence of what the original was about, because it's hard to
But
replicate that the culture it was written in, and it's hard to replicate that style.
So if there was like a movie, 'cause so I mean we can talk about Creed sometime. I haven't seen it in a while. I know you've never seen it. So let's say that the Creed movie, but what I can tell you is it significantly lacks any of the heart and soul that the original Rocky had. It feels pretty lifeless during the whole running time. But let's just say that movie was better, you know? It had better characters, it had better writing, it had better cinematography, it had better music. But it lacked the heart of the original. Which would you say is better? And because.
Well, we've been tossing around heart a lot, but and we can say that vaguely in a situation like this, but if we want to make comparisons like that, I think we need to buckle down and actually explain scientifically what we mean by heart. Do we mean like the style, the stylistic choices of the 80s that were being used at that time? Do we mean Sylvester Stallone's own personal writing, acting? Do we mean like
Well, I don't think it's that specific because I think this applies to basically any movie that's remade. Like, look, I mean, look, it's in Creed, it's in Jurassic World, it's in Star Wars. Like, basically any movie that you name that's been remade, it significantly lacks the heart and soul of the original. So I don't think this is definitely not just a Rocky issue. So I think that'd be actually really interesting to kind of make like a video or an episode analyzing w what that I don't know what the certain oomph what that actually is and why it's so hard to attain for these newer movies. But that aside, so Ty, as a first time viewer, what would you rate Rocky 1 out of 10?
Seven.
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 Okay.
It was good. Didn't quite edge on great, though. It came very close in some places. Not enough to justify giving it an 8, but I definitely liked it more than a 6, so 7.
Originally, I was gonna give it an 8. And you know, don't get me wrong. I don't love it any less than I did from before I talked about it on the podcast. But seeing, I mean, like just talking about it with you has definitely like,
Dude,
I don't
this
know,
always
cemented.
happens. This happens in like a good 80% of our reviews. You say, well, after talking about it, I realize I need to give it a. Come on, man, break the cycle. Break the
No,
cycle.
I mean like I kind of like no I like I noticed these things. Like I know he wasn't like a super I mean like besides his performance there wasn't a whole lot to his character and I saw that the first act was basically him just walking around. But I don't know. I think I'd have to attribute it to just not even nostalgia, but just how much I love it. I don't know. Usually it's nostalgia for me, but I think I'll have to go with the 7 also. Because I don't know. I still love it. I mean that 7 as in the most positive way possible. The most positive. Actually, 7.5. Why don't we bump it up to 7.5? I'll do that. Okay. So, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Kirk
That's just about
Cameron.
all. So, together, the Narrative Calculus podcast, I'm going to be assuming some veto power right here, gives Rocky the original 1976 and 7.5 out of 10. Thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to leave a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. we're again going to be doing this series over the next couple of days, 23rd to the 27th. Mark it in your calendars, tell your friends, tell your families, tell your baby sister, tell everyone you know. The series is going to be, you know, this is completely for you guys. We just want to give you something special, and thank you so much for listening to all of our episodes. We really appreciate you guys. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And be sure to check out some of our other episodes, like we mentioned, our episode on Saving Christmas, or our Hamilton episode, or any others you'd like to listen to. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.